Okay, today's daf is Brachot Daf Chaf Zayin. We're at the bottom of Chaf Vav and Bet at the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Arba Shot. So Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is you have until the fourth hour of the day to say Shachrit. We're going to clarify what exactly he meant. Ibayilu Ad Vad Bichlal Dilma Ad Vilo Ad Bichlal. Did he mean up to and including the fourth hour, or did he mean up to and not including the fourth hour? Meaning right when the fourth hour begins, you have to stop saying Shachrit. So really, 3 hours and 1 minute into the day. Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Plaga Mincha Iyamar Bishlama Ad Vilo Ad Bichlal Haimdika Bein Rabbi Yehuda Le Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda said that you have to say mincha until halfway through the time that you have to say mincha. So there, if you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is ad velo ad bichlal, up to and not including the time that he mentioned, that makes sense, because now I know what the machloket is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Ella I amar ad ve'ad bichlal, if you hold that Rabbi Yehuda says up to and including Rabbi Yehuda haid Rabbanan, then Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is the exact same Shita as the Rabbanan's Shita. Because what does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda says you have up until the second half to say mincha. Up to and including the second half of the time to say mincha, you have to say mincha. That's the Rabbanan Shita, because up to and including the second half would be right up until sunset, right? So then Rabbi Yehuda's Shita would be the same as the Rabbanan Shita. Elamai ad velo ad bichla. Elamai ad velo ad bichla. So it must be that he says up to and not including. So his Shita is you have up until the second half of the mincha time to say mincha, but not including the second half of the mincha time to say mincha. And that's why the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda are different from each other. Ema Seifa, but wait, look at the end of the Mishnah. V'shel Musafim Kol Hayom, that you have the entire day to say Musaf. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Shevashot. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have up until the seventh hour to say Musaf. V'tanya, and we taught in a Braita, Hayu Lefanav Shtei Tzvilot, Echad Shel Musaf, Echad Shel Mincha. If you simultaneously have the obligation to say Musaf and Mincha, Mitpal Shel Mincha V'chargach Shel Musaf. First you say Mincha, and then you say Musaf. Shizot Tadira, V'zo Eno Tadira, because one comes more frequently than the other. Mincha comes every single day, and so Tanushet Udara Terek Kodem. What is more frequently you say? What occurs more frequently you say first? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mitpal Shel Musaf V'Chargach Shel Mincha Shezo Over V'Zeo Over. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to first daven Mincha, and then first you have to daven Musaf and then Mincha, because Musaf you're about to run out of time to say it. Mincha you have the entire afternoon to say it, so you got to say Musaf first. Yamar Bishlama Ad Ve'Ad Bichlal Hayim L'Mishkach Alu Shteitz Vil Be'Ad Yadadi. If you hold that Rabbi Yehuda holds Ad Ve'Lo Ad Bichlal Ad Ve'Ad Bichlal, sorry, so it's up to and including the seventh hour. That is how you can have Mincha and Musaf be obligated, be incumbent upon you to say at the same time. Eliyamar But if you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is up to and not including, how could you possibly have two tefillot to say at the same time? Right? The moment you are obligated in Mincha, you already can't say Musaf, right? Because if up to and not including, if you hold by up to and not including, that means that up to the seventh hour is basically 6 hours and 1 minute. And the earliest time to say Mincha is 6.5 hours into the day. You could never have Musaf and Mincha overlap if you hold Ad V'lo Ad Bichlal. Elamai Ad V'ad Bichlal. It must be the Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's up to and including the seventh hour. So you have all 7 hours and you have Musaf and Mincha overlap by half hour. So go ahead and say Musaf first because you only have half hour left to say it, or by Mincha you have the rest of the afternoon. Kashi Reisha. Boy, 1 second, we still have a difficulty with the Reisha, right? Ma'ika ben Rabbi Yehuda L'Rabbanan. How is Rabbi Yehuda arguing on Rabbanan? Rabbi Yehuda says you have up to the second half of the Mincha time to say Mincha. Up to and including means you have the entire evening, you have the entire afternoon right up until evening to say Mincha. That's the Rabbanan Shita. Misavar dahai palga mincha palga chrona kamar palga rishona kamar. Right? No, just say that when he said up to and including, he wasn't saying up to and including the second half of the Mincha time. He was saying up to and including the first half of the Mincha time. Up to and including the first half of the Mincha time means you have to stop at plaga mincha, whereas the second half of the Mincha time you don't have at all. When he said up to plaga mincha, he meant up to the first plug. Up to the first half of the Mincha time, you have to say, meaning up to and including. But wait, Rabbi Yehuda, I know you're going to ask, Rabbi Yehuda on the previous Amud also gave a siman for his Shita, right? He said that the second half of Mincha begins at 10 and 3/4 hours into the day. So if he's giving a siman for his Shita, that he's saying explicitly, that he's saying explicitly it's 10 3/4 hour into the day, and he's saying that is my Shita, and that is the plag ha'acharon, that is the second half of Mincha, then how can you tell me that he's holding up to and including the first half of Mincha when the siman that he gives is for the second half of Mincha? So clearly when Rabbi Yehuda says plag, what he's referring to is the second half. So it's up to and including the second half, we have the same problem. V'achikamar. No. We don't have the same problem. This is how you should have read that braita. Eimat nafik plag rishona va'ayu plag achrona. When is it that the first half ends and the second half begins? Right, when you get to 3 to 10 and 3/4 hour, he was just answering the question when one ends and the other begins. He wasn't giving a siman for when his shita starts. Amar Rav Nachman, af ananami tanina. We have the same exact tradition. We teach the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, he'id chamisha dvarim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava testify that the following five things are halacha. We paskin this way. Shememanin et haktana. Okay, you need a lot of yivamot background here. So, an underage woman can be married off by her father, and that constitutes marriage mi deoraita, Torah level marriage. But when the woman is no longer a ketana, she gets to decide whether or not she wants to stay married to that man. And if she decides that she doesn't want to stay married to that man, the marriage is actually uprooted from milichatchila, right? So it goes back to the beginning of the marriage. It's like it never happened at all. Now, we have a concern. If the father passes away, we're afraid that someone's going to come along and take advantage of this girl. And therefore, the Rabbanan gave permission to the mother and to the brothers to marry her off as well, to make sure that she's with a good man that's able to support her and not being taken advantage of some other man now that the father is out of the picture. But however, the Rabbanon gave them the power to do that, so they can only marry her off de Rabbanon, meaning the marriage is only a marriage on a rabbinic level, but it is not a marriage on a Torah level. So you might get into the following issue. Imagine you have two sisters who marry two brothers. One of the sisters is a gedola, and therefore her marriage to one of the brothers is on a Torah level. But one of the sisters is a ketana whose father passed away and was married to that other brother by her mother or her brother. In which case, her marriage to the second brother is derabanan. Now, here's what happens. The older sister's husband passes away with no kids. And when your husband passes away with no kids, you fall to his closest relative in Yibum. So that the woman then has the option of marrying the closest relative. Or rather, he has the option to do Yibum on her, and then when he brings her children, it's like he is restoring his brother's legacy who died without children. That is the idea of Yibum. You fall to the closest living relative. Now, there are two cases when it comes to Yibum generally, right? Or for our purposes, we need to understand the following two cases. In a normal case, if the brother doesn't have children, so you fall to the closest relative in Yibum, and you are halachically bound to that person, either to do Yibum and be married, or Chalitza and be completely disconnected from him. However, if two brothers marry two sisters, it is usur for one man to be married to two sisters. So, then what happens if two brothers marry two sisters? In a normal case, not in our case, right? And so, the woman could not fall to the closest living relative of the man who she was married to, who just passed away, because you can't fall to someone who is usur to marry you on a deoraita level, right? Rather, you'd be putter. Now, here's why the case is tricky. It's because even though her sister is married to the man that she is falling to, in which case you would assume that she can't actually do Yibum because the man can't be married to two sisters. That's what you'd assume, except there's one problem. That man is not really married to her sister. He's only married to her sister on a Derabanan level. And so now you have a Deoraita Yibum obligation on the older sister and a Derabanan marriage that's interfering with it on the younger sisters. You have a mitzvah mideoraita to be mekayim with Yibum, but an iser derabanan of marrying the second sister when you're already derabanan married to the first sister. So what do we do in such a case? Beit Din encourages the ketana, the young woman, to do miun. Miun is basically when you just say, I do not want to be in this marriage anymore. That's what the ketana is allowed to do, and you don't need a get, and you don't need anything. She can just say, done, and it's like the marriage never happened. We tell her to do that. We generally don't encourage it, but we tell her to do that in this case. That way, the derabanan problem problem of her being married to the man that her sister is going to fall to does not interfere with the deoraita mitzvah of yibum that this man now has to the widow of his brother. So that's psak number one, that we tell the ketana to do miud. That's number one. Shemasin et ha'isha al pi eid echad. If a woman's husband goes far away, and one person can testify that that man died, and he comes back and says, yes, this woman's husband died, even though in general you need two witnesses to testify to something like this, for the sake of her not becoming an aguna, a chained wife who cannot get remarried because of the doubtful status of her husband, we believe the testimony of one witness. Val tarnagol sheniskal v'Yerushalayim al shahara get nefesh. And there's a case where a chicken got put to death through skila because it killed. How did the chicken kill? It killed a baby by pecking at the soft spot in its head. Why is that a chiddush? Because the Torah only says that an ox is put to death by skila. But in Bava Kamma, we have a gzeirah shava where we learn from oxen to all animals that any other animal that can kill should also be put to death by stoning. So we accept that gzeirah shava lahalacha. That is the third din that he testified to. Val yain bein arba'im yom shenit nasich al gabei hamizbeach. Right, 40-day-old wine, which can be poured on the mizbeach for nisuch hayayin. Pouring the wine on the mizbeach, which accompanied the korbanot, can only be done with old wine, with aged wine. It can't be done with new wine, because new wine isn't as special, isn't as good. How old is old wine? So we testified that 40-day-old wine already constitutes old wine. Ve'al tamid shel shachar shekara ba'arba shaot shema mina. And he testified that the tamid shel shachar can be brought up until the end of the fourth hour, which means that he clearly holds Rabbi Yehuda's shita is ad ve'ad bichlal. That's why we brought this here to show that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is ad ve'ad bichlal, and we have a corroborating source for it. Ad ve'ad bichlal shmamina, ad ve'ad bichlal shmamina. We can see from here that the shita is up to and including Amar Rav Kana halach Rabbi Yehuda hoil v'tanan bebechirta kavatei. And Rav Kana concludes that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbanon because this testimony was given in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. And the Tamid Shel Shachar, which can be brought up until the fourth hour. That's the Mishnah. Let's talk about it for a second. Man Tana, who is the Tana? Lahad Tana Rabbanan. For the following teaching that was taught by the Rabbanan, V'cham HaShemesh V'namis Be'arba Shaot. Right? That when the Torah says about the man, that it would melt when the sun got hot, that is 4 hours into the day. Ata omer ba'arba shaot o eno ela b'shesh shaot. You're saying that's 4 hours into the day. Maybe it's really 6 hours into the day. Kishehu omer kechom hayom haresh shaot amur. No. Why? Because we see by Avraham that Avraham was sitting outside of his tent kechom hayom in the heat of the day. The heat of the day is 6 hours. We're going to talk about how we know the heat of the day is 6 hours and the heat of the sun is 4 hours a little bit later. But because I already have an expression that indicates chatzot, which is in the heat of the day, I know that the heat of the sun, kechom hashemesh, cannot be referring to 6 hours into the day, and therefore it's referring to 4 hours into the day. Hamani mekayim v'cham hashemesh v'namis be'arba shaot. So what is v'cham hashemesh talking about? The heat of the day, or the heat of the sun, sorry. That is talking about 4 hours into the day. Now, it's important to point out that there's a preceding pasuk. There's a preceding couple words to the significant words that we mentioned, right? This pasuk that speaks about it collecting the man, it says, Vayil kitu oto baboker baboker, ish kefi achlo v'cham hashemesh v'namis. So when would you collect the man? In the morning. And then, if you were collecting man all morning, then when did it melt? It must be after the morning that it melted, right? Because if they collected in the morning, and then when that was done, the man melted, what that's saying is the time that the man melted is definitively not the morning. But that's going to pose a problem. Mani, lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan. But now, I can't suggest that this teaching is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, and I can't suggest that it's according to Rabbanan. E Rabbi Yehuda ad arba shaot nami tzafrahu. Because if it's Rabbi Yehuda, well, Rabbi Yehuda says that until the end of the fourth hour is still considered morning. So how are you telling me that in the fourth hour, the man is melting, and they could, and meaning that they were not collecting the man in the fourth hour, but we already they said that they were collecting man in the morning. That means they collected the man in the morning, but they weren't collecting the man in the fourth hour because it's no longer morning. That's when the sun is melting it. Wait, the fourth hour is no longer morning? But Rabbi Yehuda says the fourth hour is still considered morning. That's why you can bring the Korban Shel Shachar. And if you want to say it's according to the Rabbanan, they hold the morning goes on until the sixth hour. Vadai can't be their position. No, actually, you can say this according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and you can say it according to the Shita of Rabbanan. We don't have a problem. Because the Torah says, originally we said, V'yilketu oto baboker baboker. Why did you have to say morning twice? How would the Rabbanan explain why you had to say morning twice? To tell you that there are two parts of the morning. There is the first part of the morning, the early morning, and the second part of the morning, the late morning, right? They're each 3 hours long. That explains how the morning, according to the Rabbanan, is 6 hours, and you can bring the Korban Shel Shachar up until the sixth end of the sixth hour, because there are two parts of the morning. Each of them are three. So they collected the man in the first part of the morning, which lasted 3 hours, and then the sun came out in the fourth hour and melted. Everything checks out according to the Rabbanan. Vibayt Ema, Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Bokir Teira, Lahakdim Lo Shachat. And you can even say it according to the Yehuda. Why would it say an extra boker? According to the Yehuda, it's not to say that there are two types or two different mornings, but rather to say that they only collected it in the middle of the morning, meaning baboker baboker, right there in the middle of the morning, but not up until the end of the morning. So when the sun came out to melt it, it didn't mean that the morning was over. It just means that it wasn't a part of the morning that they would collect it, which was baboker baboker. It was in the middle of the morning. Right? So everyone could agree to this teaching that the fourth hour is when the sun is hot and the man would melt. My mashma. Okay, how does that mean the fourth hour though? And while we're at it, how does v'chom hayom mean the sixth hour? Amar Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov Amar Kuro v'cham haShemesh v'names ezo isha shehaShemesh cham v'atzel tzonen havi Omer v'arba shaot. It says that the sun was hot. Well, the sun is always hot. What are you actually teaching me? That the places that were sunny were hot. Why is that a chiddush? Because there's a time of day where the places that are sunny are hot, but the places that are under shade are still cold. But then there's a time of day where even the places under the shade are uncomfortable. What is that? Kechom hayom, where everything is hot in the day. Not just kechom hashemesh, not just wherever it's sunny, it's hot. Rather, when everything is hot, it's kechom hayom. That's the sixth hour when the sun is standing in the middle of the sky. But in the fourth hour, wherever there's shade, it's still nice. Wherever there's sun, it's davka hot. That is kechom hashemesh. Okay, Tfilat Mincha Ad Ha'erev. The Mincha prayer can be said until the evening. Amar Le'er of Chizdel Rav Yitzchak. Hatam Amar Rav Kana Halacha Rabbi Yehuda Hoil V'Tanan Bechirta Kavatei Hachamai. So there we said that by Shachar we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda here too by Mincha that you have until plug? So Ishtik, he didn't answer his question. Velo Amar Le, Velo Midi, he didn't say anything. He didn't respond at all. Amar Rav Chizda Nichzi Anan. All right, so let's see if we can figure this out. Medarav Matzli Shal Shabbat Be'er of Shabbat Bibod Yom Shema Mina Ein Alach Rabbi Yehuda. Right, from the fact that I know that Rav Davin's Mariv for Shabbat, while it is still daytime, I can see that he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Mincha ends at plug, and consequently, you can say Mariv before Shkia, when the sun is still out. Hashta deloit, no, I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Rabbi Yehuda, adarabba, no, say the opposite. Midarav Huna, v'rabbanan, lo habu masli ad urta, shmaminayin alach, Rabbi Yehuda. But the Rabbanan and Rav Huna would daven only when it's dark out. So you could say the halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Hashta deloit mar hilchata, lo kemar v'lo kemar, daven kemar, avad, v'daven kemar, avad. Now that you didn't say the halacha is like Yehuda, and you didn't say the halacha is like Rabbanan, what can I conclude? Even though you have some people who passed like one of them, some of the passed like the other one, we didn't conclude anything. You didn't tell me that, no, the halacha is like Rabbanan. You didn't tell me, no, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So if you follow Rabbi Yehuda, it works. You're allowed to follow Rabbi Yehuda. You follow the Rabbanan, that works too. You're allowed to follow them. What are you not allowed to do? You're not allowed to do a tarte de satre, right? You're not allowed to hold by simultaneously holding two conflicting shitas. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can daven mincha only up until plaga mincha. But because he says that, you can daven marv immediately after plaga mincha, meaning before the sun even sets. The Rabbanan believe you can daven mincha up until the sun one sets, but because they believe that, Marav cannot be said until Tzedek Kochavim, until the stars go out, which means that you're allowed to follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Daven Mincha before Plag, and then Marav before sunset, and you're allowed to follow the Rabbanan Shita, which is Daven Mincha up until sunset, and then Marav after Tzedek Kochavim. However, what you cannot do is Daven Mincha according to the Rabbanan, which is after Plag and before sunset, and then Marav according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is also after Plag. So, if you davened Mincha after Plag a Mincha, you're not allowed to then daven Mariv before Tzedek Kochavim. That's a Tartei Desatra. You can't do that. Rabbi Kleve Gneva Vitzali Shal Shabbat Be'erev Shabbat Vahava Matzli Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba La'achore. The Rab. Right, so Rav went to Gneva, it's the name of an Amora, and he was davening the Shabbos prayer, the tefillah for Shabbat, while it was still daytime. And Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba davened behind him. V'siyim Rav v'lo paskel tzutzei de Rabbi Yirmiya. And when Rav finished davening, he did not interrupt the tefillah of Rabbi Yirmiya by walking in between Rabbi Yirmiya and the wall that he was davening in front of. Shema mina tzlat. I learned three things from this story. Shema mina. Mitpalel adam shel Shabbat be'erev Shabbat. You're allowed to say the Marav on Shabbat even while it's still daytime. V'shema mina mitpalel talmid achorei rabbo. And a student is allowed to daven behind his rabbi. V'shema mina asur lavor k'neged mitpalelin. And I also learned that you're not allowed to pass before someone who is davening while he's still in the middle of Ishmona Esrei. I remember I once got some harsh muster on this one time. I was in Shunabet and I was at my cousin's for Chag Rishon for Sukkot. And I gave over a nice Dvar Torah during the night, and one of the Rebbeim from the community was there. The next evening when I was davening Mariv, I got to Mariv late, so I kind of walked straight in and davened Mariv, and I was kind of davening Ishmona Esrei really in the doorway, stopping a lot of people from, or in theory stopping a lot of people from leaving, but people continue to leave and come in, even though I was standing right there, and you're not allowed to pass in front of someone while he's davening Shmoneh Esrei. So one of the Rebbeim from the community who was in the sukkah the previous night wanted to give me muster for this, but he didn't really know me, so he tried to give it in a nice way. So he came up to me and he just said, I'm surprised that someone who gave a Dvar Torah like you last night didn't know that he wasn't supposed to daven in the doorway. So I got a little bit of musar and a little bit of compliment there at Chagav, but you got to be very machbid. You shouldn't put yourself in a situation where someone's going to have to walk right in front of you when you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, because they're not allowed to. Where were we? Tell me the Messiah Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur Lavor, can I give this Palin? Right? And you have a support for this statement by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says you're not allowed to pass in front of people who are in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Ain't he? Is that really true? V'ha Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Chalfi. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi walk in front of people with their davening. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, Chutzlar Ba'amot, who the Chalfi. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi walk more than four amot in front of someone. Meaning it's not like you're like, it doesn't go until the end of the room. You have four amot to yourself. You're not allowed to pass in front of. It's machloki between the Magen Avraham and the Gra as to whether or not that's four amot directly in front of you, or four amot to your right, four amot to your left, and four amot in front. Rabbi Yirmiya, hechi avid hachi. How did Rabbi Yirmiya do this? How did he daven behind Rav? Veha amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav leolam alit palel adam lo keneged rabo velo achorei rabo. You're not supposed to daven next to your rabbi to suggest like you're equals, right? Or immediately after your rabbi to suggest like you're the best Talmud. V'tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Hamitzpalel, Achorei Rabo, right? And Rabbi Eliezer taught that someone who davens right behind his rabbi, V'anotin Shalom L'Rabo, and someone who greets his rabbi like he would greet his friend, V'amachzir Shalom L'Rabo, and someone who responds in a greeting to his rabbi the way that he would do with his friend very casually, V'acholik al yeshivato shel Rabo, and someone who leaves his yeshiva to start a new yeshiva against his rabbi's wishes, v'ha'omer davar shelo shema mepi rabo, and someone who says something that he heard in the name, or that he, someone who says something in the name of his rabbi that he didn't actually hear from his rabbi, gor melchina shistalik misrael, he causes the shechina to leave klal yisrael. So you're not allowed to daven behind your rabbi, or your rabbi. Shani Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba to Talmid Chaverhu. Now Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba was different. He wasn't a proper Talmid of Rav. He was a Talmid Chaver. They're both Rebbeim in the same institution. That's different. I can prove to you that this is the case. V'hainu dekamar le Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba l'Rav, and that explains what Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba once said to Rav. Because once Rav was done davening, what did Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba say? Mi badalta? Did you stop doing malacha since you're davening already Mariv for Shabbat? Amar le in badilna? Yeah, I stopped doing malacha. V'lo amar mi badilmar. Right, but he didn't say has master stopped doing malacha. What did he say? Badalta, did you stop doing malacha? And that's a totally inappropriate way to speak to your rabbi when you refer to them in the first person. You're supposed to refer to your rabbi in the third person. Now, for those who did not grow up with this, this is very, very awkward and uncomfortable to speak to people that way in the third person. It strikes you as strange. I remember, if we're talking already about times I got Musar from the Rosh Hashiva once. I was speaking to the Rosh Hashiva. I think I was in either Shir Dalet or Shir Hay at this point. And I was speaking to him. I was asking for his advice on something. And I asked, I said, what's your opinion? And I didn't say, what is Harav's opinion? Right? And he said to me, he goes, listen, Frody, I don't need your kavod. I don't need you to call me by anything. But you're in your fifth year of yeshiva. You should know how to properly address your rebbe. You should have said Harav. You shouldn't have said you. Okay. Umi badil v'hamar Rabbi Avin pamachadik palal Rabbi Shel Shabbat be'erev Shabbat v'nichnas l'merchatz v'yotzev v'shanalun pirki. Right, but wait, do you have to stop doing malacha just because you said Mariv on erev Shabbat even if it's still daytime? But didn't we see that Rabbi David Mariv and then he went into the hot bathhouse and then he went out and he started teaching us? Hey, but I'm lo chashcha because it was still daytime, so he was allowed to go in the bathroom. But he already davened mariv for Shabbat. Amarava, who the nichnas laziyah v'kodem zerahava. No, he just went in there to work up a sweat, not to bathe in hot water. And it was before the gzera that you were not allowed to go into a bathhouse even to work up a sweat. Ain't is that really true? V'ha abaye sharalei l'rav dimi bar Levi l'kavro sali. Right, but Abaye let Rav Dimi fumigate his baskets with sulfur. That's like how you would color your baskets, right? Even though he had already davened Mariv on Erev Shabbat. Haute utahave. No, that's because Rav Dimi thought it was already nighttime because it was cloudy, and so he davened Mariv, and then he asks, am I still allowed to do malacha? I didn't realize it was still daytime. Vituta mihadra. Wait, are you allowed to just go back on, if you made a mistake, you're allowed to just pretend like it never happened? But one time it was very cloudy out, and the community thought it was already nighttime, so they went and they said the Mariv for Motzei Shabbat, even though it was still Shabbat. And then the clouds spread and the sunshine, they realized it was still Shabbos. And they asked Rebbe, what's the deal here? Do we have to daven again now after Shabbat? And he said, no, you already davened, so it counts, this already counts as you're davening for Motzei Shabbat. But it was a mistake, right? If it was a mistake, then it shouldn't have counted, and they're still in Shabbat. Everyone agrees they can't do malacha at this point, yeah? But they don't have to daven Marav again once Shabbat ends, but it's a mistake, right? So if it's a mistake, we should pretend like it never happened. Shani Tzibur, Dolom HaTchukhinu Lehu. No. For an individual, we pretend like it never happened. But for an entire tzibur, he wasn't going to make the entire tzibur daven again. That's tircha. I'm Ruchia Bar Avi. I'm Rav Tzali Shel Shabbat be'erev Shabbat. Right? So Ruchia Bar Avi says, Ruchia Bar Avi says that Rav davened the Shabbat davening of Mariv while it was still daytime on erev Shabbat. Rabbi Shaya Matzli Shel Motzei Shabbat b'Shabbat, and Rabbi Shaya would daven the Mariv for Motzei Shabbat on Shabbat. Rav Tzali Shel Shabbat be'erev Shabbat. Omer Kiddusha Al Kos. Oh, wait, no, Omer Kiddusha Al Kos. Okay, since he's allowed to daven Mariv, granted, but like, is it really Shabbat? Should he say Kiddush now on a cup of wine? Does it work, or does he have to wait until say Tashma Damar of Nachman Amar Shmuel Mipala Dam Shel Shabbat be'erev Shabbat Omer Kiddusha Al Kos? Right, so we have a clear proof that once you daven Mariv for Shabbat, even if it's still daytime, you can make Kiddush. Vilchatak of a day. And the halacha, in accordance with his opinion, Rabbi Shaya Matzal Shem Motzei Shabbat B'Shabbat Omer Avdala Lakos, and Rabbi Shaya would say Mariv for Motzei Shabbat while it was still during Shabbat. Can he then say Havdala on a cup? Oh, ain't no Omer Avdala Lakos. Or does he have to wait until Tzidik B'Chavim to say Avdala Lakos? Tashima is coming here to prove the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mitpala Adam Shel Motzei Shabbat B'Shabbat Omer Avdala Lakos. Right? So even if you daven Arvi Shel Motzei Shabbat and still Shabbat, you can still make Avdala on a coast. Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Azer Amar Rav Chanina Amar Rav B'Tzad Amutzeh Mitpala Rav Yishmael Bar Yosi Shel Shabbat Be'erev Shabbat. So, in the name of a number of different rabbanim, they said just that a story about davening on Erev Shabbat, the Tfilat Mariv of Shabbat. They said by this pillar, next to this pillar, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi davened the Mariv for Shabbat on Erev Shabbat. Why do they point out to this pillar? It was a good memory mechanism by pointing to the exact location, right? Then every time they look at the location, they're like, oh, we learned a halacha here about this. It's a great memory technique. Ki ata ula amar, but when ula came from Babel, Eretz Israel, he said, "Bitzad tamrahave." It wasn't next to a pillar. It was next to a date tree. Ve lo bitzad amud hava. Below it's Adamun Hava, right? Below Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Hava, and it wasn't Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. El Rabbi Elazar Bar Yossi Hava. It was Rabbi Elazar Bar Yossi. Below Shel Shabbat Be'erev Shabbat Hava, and it wasn't saying the Shabbat Marav on Erev Shabbat. Ela Shel Motzei Shabbat B'Shabbat. It was saying the Motzei Shabbat Marav on Shabbat. Kind of makes you wonder whether they're even talking about the same story, you know? Okay. Tfilat Erev Ein La Kever, right? The Marav has no set time. My Ein La Kever, what does it mean has no set time? Ilay Medi Ibayi Matzli Kulei Laila Litni Tfilat Erev Kulei Laila. If you want to say it's because you have all night to say it, well then just say that you have all night to say it. What do you mean you have no set time? Elamai Ein La Kever Kamanda Amr Tfilat Erev Reshut. No, it says it's no set time in accordance to the opinion that Tfilat Erev is a Reshut. It's a permission. So yeah, it literally has no set time because you don't have to say it. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel Tfilat Erev. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Chover Rishu Omer Rishu. Rabbi Gamliel says that it's an obligation to say Marv. Rabbi Shua says it's a Rishu to say Marv. Amar Abai Elach Gidibrei Omer Chova. Abai says it's a Chova. But Rabbi Amar Halach Gidibrei Omer Rishu. And Rabbi says the halacha is like those who say that it's a Rishu. Okay, we're about to get into the big maaseh of Rabbi Zun Azariah, Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Gamliel. It's a long story, and I don't want to interrupt in the middle, so we're going to stop here.